Happy New Year's to everyone. Some of you know that I wasn't on air for the past couple of weeks. I was working on a project that I wanted to make sure I got through with. But anyway, I'm going to let DJ or Danella start off with today's spiritual reading.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I can look over my shoulder and see times when you, pathfinding God, were a ready and dependable companion. I couldn't have done it without you, and I believe that you are already waiting to take my hand into tomorrow, knowledge that gives me the security to take risks.
Very good. I have a number of things I want to talk about. I'm going to go to the Oakland Post paper to get started. Now, I attended the Housing and Jobs Forum on January 4th, which was held in the City Council chambers. And there were a lot of people there. It was standing room only. Upstairs, balcony, all of that was full. Because they were taking care of business concerning the people in the community, of course. People in the community is going to come out for that. They're dealing with the homeless. And since the fire at that warehouse, a lot of things have been coming up since then. But I believe that meeting on the 4th was very positive. It was called by Rebecca Kaplan, council member, and it was very in line of what we need to be doing. Now, since that fire, a lot of things have occurred, including property owners now are trying to evict people because they knew that they were collecting rents from these people and the properties weren't up to code. Now, they have a rent moratorium thing going on for evictions. They're asking for that. And it should be given to them if the property that the individual or individual is living in is not really dangerous. It's minor stuff. No one could get killed for it. But see, now owners of properties have gotten so afraid, and many of them are absentee owners. That means they're not living here. So they really don't know what's going on. They're afraid that they'll end up being sued because they themselves know that the property that they're renting out is not really up to code. Now, what the people in the city are saying, okay, the property is not up to code, but it's not dangerous. We still want to stay here, and you just make some commitment as a property owner to fix up the properties. Well, many of them decide to sell. And of course, they have to evict everybody because the new buyer is saying, I want full control of the property to start off with. I don't want anybody living there. And so therefore, people that are living there will have to be evicted. Now, there are some rules pertaining to evictions and things like that, and you need to take heed to it. Now we have the Oakland Warehouse Coalition that is, they have presented the city council with what they think should be occurring, including a moratorium on evictions. And I agree with that, because if they prevent the owner of the property from evicting people, and at the same time, the owners will get some assistance in fixing up the property in some kind of way, many of them will probably consider doing that. But with absentee owners, they're going to have to find someone that they feel comfortable with to manage the property. They can have who are one of the people that are living there. Just don't evict them. They have nowhere to go.
They have to do their due diligence as well, though, because there was the person who was managing the ghost ship warehouse was a resident there. But, you know, as we know, the management of that property led to an extreme tragedy. So.
Right. And see, I don't know if the owner even knew that he was doing what he was doing, because people in the community were saying that every time the owner would come, they'd change things around where it make it look like it was really a warehouse and not people living there. And, of course, the people that were living there were going to help with doing that because they had nowhere else to go.
Right.
And it eventually created a problem. So, yes, not only is the owner of the property responsible, but if they have put someone there to manage and they knew that other people were there. So he was a manager, but he wasn't the manager chosen by the property owner, because that would mean that the property owner knew exactly what was going on, which I don't have no doubts on that either. You know, it could be either way.
Right.
But either way it go, the person that was acting as the manager knew how wrong it was. He knew how wrong it was. And they say he was living there, but see, I have some doubts on that. Because somehow he was able to afford to go to one
Marriott.
Of the
Marriott. Yeah. He had his family stand in the Marriott.
Yeah, the whole family. That's right.
Which also makes him look suspicious.
Make him look very suspicious.
You mentioned Bob Jackson of Acts 12 Gospel pledging to create living space for people, especially for minorities. It's in an area called Africatown, which is from 73rd Ave to the San Leandro border and from International Boulevard to MacArthur Boulevard. So that's a huge parcel of land, and, you know, it's also being gentrified at a rapid rate. There's also been a lot of fires in that area. I don't know if that's a coincidence, but there's a whole block of businesses on the corner of 73rd and MacArthur that were burnt down several months ago. There was a check cashing. There was a furniture store, a beauty supply.
And a food place.
Nail shop.
I used to go over there and get a few things at that little small eating place.
Mm-hmm. So the neighbors, I was in the area when that fire happened, and the neighbors were all saying, well, we'll know whether this was an accident or intentional based on what shows up in the space, whether it's like a Starbucks or, you know, some other gentrifying type of business where minorities don't necessarily spend a lot of money.
I'll put it this way. If it does happen that way, it will have to be with the agreement of the owner of that land. Okay? Whoever decides to rent that land or buy it,
right,
will have the control. Now,
it'll bear, like, keeping an eye on that, because, you know, just talking to people just in basic conversation, that was the consensus of the whole neighborhood, that nobody believed that that fire was an accident.
It was an accident, and that's a possibility. You know, it's been known to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can't see where they'll get caught if it was like that, because there are people in the community that want that land.
Right.
And see, there was some talk at that meeting on the 4th about eminent domain for the people to take control of public property. It already belongs to the people. And the city has control over a lot of that land. Many of it is vacant lots as well as houses that have been boarded up. Now, one of the main issues is that there are probably taxes that are due on it. The city or the county may have come in and did something that, because they didn't think that the property was safe. A lot of times they cut down grass and all of that kind of stuff. And all of that is a cost of the taxpayers.
For those who don't know what eminent domain is, it's the power to take private property for public use by a state, municipality, or private person or corporation authorized to exercise functions of public character following the payment of just compensation to the owner of that property. And keep in mind that just compensation is a relative term.
That's right, because a lot of people feel that, like when they built the freeway and they cut off the backyards of a lot of those people,
mm-hmm.
They feel that they didn't get enough money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, property, their property value went down or whatever.
Right.
They're going to give you market value of whatever is going on at that time, and you need to know what that is.
Right.
Okay? A lot of people ended up in eminent domain, and based on the market value of that property, they didn't receive enough to buy another property, and some of them wasn't even able to rent. They had to leave Oakland because of certain things like this. And now the people in Oakland have an opportunity to fight for land that is already publicly owned. That's the land of the taxpayers. So it will require the taxpayers to unite and show good use for that property. Evidently, we got people out there homeless, freezing to death. We have to have somewhere to put them. We have land all over the place. We have a problem with Section 8. Now, Bishop Bob Jackson is dealing with affordable houses, people. Affordable houses, at whatever time it is, may not be eligible for Section 8 people. Now, based on this income level that Bishop Bob Jackson got here, they look fantastic. I'm just hoping that they're able to keep these type rates, because it looks like they may fall within the Section 8 stuff where the landowners will be able to be paid. See, what happens is Section 8 is going to have their maximum that they'll deal with. One bedroom, two bedroom, three, whatever it is, they have their maximum. The government has their maximum that they'll deal with. And if the landowner has it higher than the maximum that Section 8 will deal with, they won't be approved for Section 8. So it looks like if Bishop Bob Jackson is able to keep these levels pretty much the way he has it here, there won't be any problem. Now, what I am concerned about is when they say affordable, because a lot of times affordable means you have to have a job. You know, at least minimum wages or something like that. And I think that he may have it set this low, but he really wants you to have a job. And this looks like minimum wage would be able to pay some of this stuff.
What are some of the rates he's offering for rent?
Okay. Here we go. You'll find this in the Oakland Post paper. Mr. Paul Cobb is the owner of the Oakland Post paper. He was at that meeting also, and he's going to be heading meetings like every month there. They have approved, the city has approved that, so we can come up with solutions and work on those solutions. And people are going to be able to gather there. I believe it's going to be in the city chambers on days that they're not using it. But let's look at the income levels and rents. One bedroom is going to be from $475 to $820. The annual household income, $20,000 to $40,000. Two bedrooms, $570 a month to $984 a month. Annual household income, $23,000 to $49,000 a year. Three bedrooms, $653 a month to $1,132 a month. Your annual income, $26,000 a year to $56,000 a year. Those are very good rental rates dealing with it today.
Yeah, because very affordable.
They're very affordable. And
that's unheard of rental rates anymore.
Yeah, that's unheard of. And so what we're going to have to do as people in the community, work with Bishop Bob Jackson on this, and I'm hoping that some of the other churches fall in line. He mentioned in the article in the Post. Now, I'm reading from the Post that's December 28th through January 3rd. And they mentioned a number of churches that he is, I'll say, borrowing ideas that they have used.
Yeah, he's drew on the historic successes of some of the city's other black churches, including Allen Temple Baptist, Evergreen Baptist, Beth Eden Baptist, Taylor Memorial Methodist, and Hayward's Glad Tidings Kojic, Church of God in Christ, which have built housing through the years, saying we need to revive those solutions today.
That's right. And so he mentioned those names of churches that have already been working in this area. Mm-hmm. The project that he Bishop Jackson is challenged with is a lot more land and everything. So if you churches work with him and make sure, because there's going to be money coming to Oakland for some of this stuff. There's some here now for some of this stuff. There's going to be emergency money coming to Oakland just because of that fire situation. So we're the ones that have to be ready as the people in the community to go for some of that money. They usually have it where you have to write up a proposal, letting them know exactly how you're going to spend the money and what will be accomplished. Now, it's clear what Bishop Bob Jackson is talking about in the rent, what he's attempting to accomplish. And I want him to be able to be successful in this. It's going to be a hard one. Look around. Look what the rents are for 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms right now. Right now. And it's set to go even up. Not down. So it's going to be up to all the rest of you churches, as well as we, the people in the community, are going to have to support this for it to come to pass. Okay? And I'm pretty sure there are some enemies out there that don't want this to come to pass. And we, the people in Oakland, especially African Americans, because all the other cultures have their little areas in Oakland. We don't have no area. It was designated some years back, a portion of East Oakland was going to be the new Black Wall Street or something. I don't know. Didn't nothing happen. And I believe a lot of that has to do with the community not participating and working with it. Now we're going to have a venue at the city for everyone to meet to discuss these issues, including housing. Everyone is talking about housing. Barbara Lee, in the same paper, discussed housing problems, okay? And the survivors of the warehouse fire sent letters to Mayor Schaaf because a lot of owners are trying to evict them because they know that they're in, they're letting these people live in property that's not the way it should be. Now, what I don't like is that we had a Black business that was targeted for helping people that are about to possibly become homeless, because it is known now that where they're living as artists is not up to date. I'm going to read something to you, and then I'm going to tell you after I read a few things here. It says, "Dear business owner, this letter is intended to inform you about an event you held on Saturday, December 17, may be violating the Oakland Municipal Code by operating without a cabaret permit. As the business operator or owner of 126 Broadway, the Oakland Municipal Code 5.12 defines a cabaret as any place where the general public is admitted for a fee. Entertainment is provided and alcohol is served, or a place that does not charge for admission, but where the general public is admitted, alcohol is served, dancing is permitted, and venue operates past 11 p.m. The event you have advertised does fulfill the definition of a cabaret." This letter was sent to Everett and Jones Barbecue by the Office of the City Administrator, City of Oakland. Now, the City Council didn't even know anything about this when we were at the meeting on the 4th. So the lady and Everett and Jones was there, and another person representing them had copies of this made for us that wanted to have copies, and I told them I was going to talk about it on the radio as well as on television. It will be aired. Now, all I can say is back in the latter 80s, when there was a moratorium on issuing any liquor license in this county, and they didn't even allow people to come from other counties to bring their license if they were trying to start a business here and you were going to sell alcohol. And a lot of people didn't understand that what that really meant. And they were talking about the cabaret license at that time. The reason why I know, because I was approached about having a cabaret license. I had a bar restaurant. And I talked to the people. I was working with the people down at ABC. And so the man that I was working with, he told me to have all of those people who were contacting about that to contact him, because he was waiting to place my license in the place that I was working, because I won a license in the lottery. We have a liquor license lottery here, or we did then. And all it requires is for you to give them $5,000 and a $50 application fee. And if you win the liquor license in the lottery, they keep all your money. But if you don't, they send you your $5,000 back. But anyway, I was told at that time while I was working in placing my liquor license that I won in the facility that I was operating, which was someone else's license. I took over from Jimmy Ward. For those of you that live in Oakland, you know who Sweet Jimmy is. But anyway, he was using someone else's license. And for those of you that knew anything about Jonelle, it used to be a well-known club here, a huge club here in Oakland many years back, back in the 70s. And Jonelle was no longer in the business to use liquor license. He decided not to. So Jimmy used his liquor license, Jonelle's liquor license. Jimmy won a liquor license in the lottery also. Jimmy Ward did. He was the one set me up with the liquor license people so I can, you know, he told me what to do. I went and talked to him, gave him the $5,000 and fill out the application, gave him the $50 fee. Well, anyway, I explained this when I became a Soul Beat talk show host. When I saw that they were closing down a lot of African-American businesses that were selling alcohol. See, the laws had changed, and some people didn't keep up with it. And if you did anything that was in violation of those new laws, they can close you down. And that's exactly what they did with a lot of businesses. Now, I ended up couldn't place my license there where I was. So the owner of the business put the property up for sale. They had an offer. They had an offer from a person that wanted to have a bar and restaurant. I explained to the real estate agent, this is what the city gave me, and I told him that the only license that will be used in this facility at the time is the one that was hanging up there. And ABC said unless people went through their process, they're not going to be able to have a liquor license. And that real estate agent did not tell the owner of the property, because he looked at me and thought that I was crazy. You know how they treat black folks sometimes. He thought I didn't know what I was talking about. I gave him the handout that the city had, the ABC had given me, that showed all the areas in Oakland where they were not going to allow any new placement of liquor license unless they went through them. Mm-hmm. And I told the man that. He didn't believe me. And the owner just got an offer, sent me my notice to get out, because the people said that they wanted the property free and clear, and that's what mostly happens. I decided not to go to the owner when it's clear to me that that real estate agent didn't explain it to the owner, who was Asian, by the way. And the real estate agent was a white real estate broker. And, of course, I'm the little black child in between the two. And so she told me they accepted the offer, so I went on and packed up and went on. I called the man at ABC. I told him what they said. So he worked real close with me on this. He worked hard with me on this. And I told him what the real estate agent said and the owner said, that they sold and have a deal in escrow. He said, bring me those licenses. You know, and I called Jimmy, and I told him what was happening. And I said, the man told me to bring the license. He said, take it to him. And he said, I don't care what you do with this license. He said, I've already paid Jonelle $93,000 to use those licenses, and I was in a state of shock. How could that brother do that? And so I went on and turned the license in. And when the last conversation I had with that ABC man, he said, there will never, as long as I'm working for ABC, be a liquor license issued on that property. And it still hasn't today. And this was in 89. It still hasn't today. And all I can say is escrow didn't close. The owners had to keep the property, and then the next thing I knew, mm-hmm. there was a fire, fire there, and people were suspicious that the owner had done it. So, you know, I don't know. All I know is there's been a problem since 89 with issuing liquor license here, and so that's how they were able to close down all of the African-American bars pretty much in Oakland. Yeah, they're gone. The only ones that are still left are very small ones that a lot of the people that go there are seniors and things like that. Right. You know, they're not selling drugs all up and through there.
Right.
And carrying guns, shooting people. That's how they were able to close down a lot of African-American bars in Oakland, because there was always some kind of problem, somebody getting shot, fighting, or what have you.
That's what recently happened at the Venue, which is a space, a performance space downtown just off of 14th and Broadway. Someone was shot outside the club, and so now they're prohibited from having any more hip hop shows there. So they can still have events, but their biggest sellers and biggest draw were the hip hop shows.
And that's the young people.
So now that's going to directly impact the owners
and the
employees.
Mm-hmm. The younger people are the ones that are creating problems, and those are the ones that are spending money. I remember when I was young, and they had after hours and all of that. The ones that were younger than us was buying magnums of champagne and Flo Show and had gold and stuff everywhere. And then I knew eventually that club was going to be closed down too. And that's what's happening now. Jeffrey's downtown has a lot of young people there. But so far, there hasn't been no major problems. Jeffrey likes to have security, and he hires the Muslims. Okay? He hires them, and you better not mess with them, okay? They at work. They're getting paid, and they have a job to do. Don't go in there messing with them, because they are some serious security people. So I know that's probably one of the reasons why Jeffrey's is still open, because he's doing everything he is supposed to do to keep folks from doing things. Now, although Jeffries has a young crowd, Jeffrey also has a business crowd at certain times. Now, I don't go to any of them no more because people done lost their minds. It don't matter, you know, where you are. But anyway, what I want you to do is, for those of you that want to participate in trying to resolve some of the homeless problems and problems with the Warehouse Coalition have with our artists here, you can contact Oakland Warehouse Coalition at gmail.com. Now, they are trying to, it's a city audience that they're trying to deal with where people can't be just evicting folks and giving a moratorium on evictions and allowing owners of properties where these artists are living, giving them some time to fix the place up if it's not dangerous. And many of the people that felt that they were going to be evicted said that there are probably some code violations, but they're not dangerous. So why would you evict us? So now we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be evicted and homeless, okay? We have a housing problem. There was one lady at the meeting that says that she's a part of an organization that's going to have a tiny house village. Building tiny homes, I've been watching the tiny house explosion on television since the beginning. And there are a lot of people that may be able to afford a tiny house, not only to purchase to get a start on owning property, but that is also another way that you can possibly help with the homeless situation. Now, because there was, what, a 250-square-foot house built for five people in the family. Two adults and three children, and it worked. And 250 square feet is not very large at all. So we may need to think about things like that.
Moving into a tiny home requires a change of perspective. You have to be willing to minimize.
That's a lot of us,
you know, we collect, and over time, you know, I've raised three children, and I've got their awards and, you know, trophies.
Look at this jucky place.
And everything. So, you know, you have to be willing to minimize.
That's right.
To be able to live in a space like that. But they get so creative with the use of the space. Like on some of them, a staircase is also a set of drawers that you can pull out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's storage underneath the staircase.
Right.
It's amazing, like, the way that they use the space. And
that's right.
How creative they get with it. So.
Yeah, so I want to go tiny because if I'm tiny, I won't keep bringing stuff in. See, I'm in a place that's, what, 1,674 square feet, I think it is. I'd have to look on the thing. But I was here by myself. I didn't need no 1,600 square feet. So the only thing I could do at that time was to fill the place up with junk. And see, in addition, I had a retail store and a warehouse, and still my place was junky with stuff. And so the only way I'm going to get out of that from being a pack rat is in a small facility, because I keep everything. I don't want to get rid of anything.
I would clarify by saying that you've had many businesses, and as the businesses grew and developed, you know, the inventory had to come somewhere. So your house became part of your warehouse. You had it. Sales on eBay and, you know, just all kinds of different businesses that, and then you do things in the community where, like, the toys and things that you accumulate over time, you give those back out to the children in the community. So it's not so much of being a pack rat as it is having these transitions that you go through business-wise and then having to have somewhere to place the items. But there's still a lot of value in most of the things that you have. So at some point, you know, there, I know that you'll have something to do with it without, you know, out in the community and sharing it with other people.
What else am I going to do with it? I got to give it away. And then by being a minister, Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ told you that it belongs to them. Everything belongs to them. And at any time you've been blessed with more than you need, you're supposed to give it away. See, a lot of people don't understand God as well as our Lord Jesus Christ because they keep making statements that God works in mysterious ways. He doesn't. It's written right there in the Bible. He's not mysterious. He told you what his laws were, and he's going to abide by his own laws as well. So there's nothing mysterious about anything. It's just that sometimes things happen and you want to say God works in mysterious ways, especially when it's good. But the one that God doesn't like is when you're thinking he works in mysterious ways and he's done something to hurt people. God doesn't do that. He sees that long time ago. And he knew that we were going to have a problem with unclean spirits here. So he gave us the power to control that. And at the same time, if you abide by his laws, you will not be inviting unclean spirits in. He knew we was going to have enough problem with Satan and all the demons running around here loose, and you see what's happening. All over this world, we got hate. You know, white people hating black people hating white, and all the other cultures hate black. And so African Americans have a hard way to go. And see, we're angry and we're putting our anger out there in a manner that shouldn't be. We no longer have businesses in Oakland. So therefore, we're going to have to go to other cultures to purchase anything we want. And if we do not do business with them the way they want us to do business, they'll let us know in a minute that they don't need our services. Hmm. And that's the truth. They don't need us. We're going to have to figure out how we don't have to need anybody else. And the only way to do that, we have to have our own. And in order to do that, we have to unite. And right now, we're so divided, we can't get together and do nothing. Bishop Bob Jackson got something going on here. Work with him, people. I'm going to contact him because I know he's going to be working with some people, and they're probably all in his church. I have to see if he have any case managers. And would he like for me to provide him with case management services? That's what I can do to give back to the community, is to let him know the people that he's working with, whether it's in housing, it could be even in his church, if they need case management services. So we can make the referrals to whatever organizations out there that are receiving tax-paying dollars that are supposed to provide services. And see, right now, with Trump in office, if he redo the health care that Obama put in, many of us are not understanding what that means, especially those that are on Medi-Cal. It's getting ready to go back to, you're not going to be able to qualify for Medi-Cal. That was the biggest thing with the Obama health care. Those that did not have health care should have been, they had no money coming in, or the money they have is so little they couldn't afford health care insurance. That was the purpose of Obama's health care. Thousands of people became eligible for health care benefits under Obama. They want to take that away. Trump wants to take that away. He cares less about poor people. He cares less about anybody of color. And he's let you know in so many different ways. And in fact, he's somewhat discriminatory against women. Now, the Post News Group Solutions Project, you can email solutions@postnewsgroup.com. What they want you to do is contact them and let them know if you have any solutions for the jobless and the whole affordable housing. What are the things that we should be talking about to resolve? He wants the community to come out and participate in this. They're going to have a meeting every month. I'll have to get back with you on that. And it looks like it's going to be the first Monday of every month that's going to be dealing with community issues. In the past, they have been doing things like this at Jeffries. We may need to, you know, and because we need to support our black businesses as well, the ones that we do have left. We need to support those. Support your black businesses if you want the few that we do have to stay here in Oakland. If not, then we won't have no black businesses. The whole matter is relatively simple. If we do not support our black businesses, we won't have any. See, other cultures don't have a problem with supporting their people. They don't have a problem. We as African Americans have a big problem, and we were taught. Next month, I will be covering the Willie Lynch again during the Black History Month and the why we do the things to each other we do. And maybe then we'll understand. I don't know. We don't support each other. We don't even participate in the community issues. We just sit back and let things happen. Just like we sat back and allowed Trump to become president. He knew exactly what he was doing, and that he wanted to be the president after Obama. He didn't want Obama to have that second term. But in the midst of all of that, Trump did his homework, did his work, and he made sure he had the Electoral College under the belt. Now, how many votes is that? 250-something? Do that again. And then look again on how many votes California had, because he's attacking California. I knew California had a large number of electoral votes, and I didn't look at it that serious then, but I'm seeing where Trump knows he did not have all of California. He know he didn't. And so now I have a strong feeling he's going to attack California and make sure he has all of those. It was 50-something votes, wasn't it?
55
in California.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the other highest one? California, the highest.
It is. Texas, isn't it?
What?
38.
Texas got 38? Well, see, no wonder he's going to be attacking California. I remember it was 50-something. It's a total of 270 to win. And California got 55.
Right.
You see, he has to attack. He has to. He didn't have all of California, and that's what he wants. He's getting ready to try to get all 50 of those votes in California. And California, if you sit back and let him do that, then whatever occurs, occurs. Now, for those of you that don't like the idea that Trump is president, we can start a recall after the 21st. He has to be sworn in and stuff. They do that on the 21st of this month, January. The next steps that have to be taken is a recall. You have to have so many registered voters saying we want a recall. And that's quite a few. So it's going to require the states, the people that's in each of the states, to get together and have whatever number of signatures or whatever in order to do a recall. If we don't recall him, then the next thing that we can do is impeach him, and he's going to have to do something wrong for us to do that. Now, it appears that he still hasn't given up his tax information. Did you hear anything on that?
I didn't.
If that had been me, they'd have had me up under the jail, and I don't have a fraction of the money that man got. So we are going to have to be the ones that make sure, if we don't want him for a second term, we have to do something about it. Okay? And right now, I think it's intended for the people of this country to be bombarded with all kinds of things where their mind is not going to be on a recall or impeaching him.
From the New York Times, they have a headline that says Donald Trump tax records show he could have avoided taxes for nearly two decades. And this is October 2nd, 2016.
Donald Trump has declined
from the New York Times paper.
Okay.
The noise you heard in the background was a recording.
Yeah.
But that's muted. But yeah, there's the New York Times obtained records from 1995 showing that Donald J. Trump declared a $916 million loss. This figure is so substantial that it could have allowed him to legally avoid paying federal income tax for 18 years.
Okay, he's playing the game. I understand it. I understand exactly what he's doing. He's playing the tax game. And if we sit back and let him get away. Now, remember what he did pertaining to Obama's birth certificate. And everyone knew, the CIA, FBI, all of them did their research before he was elected. They did their research when he made the announcement. They knew that according to United States law, he could run for president. Now, one of the things that Arnold Schwarzenegger had a problem with is that he wanted to change the law so people from other countries that were born in other countries can run for president. I have a feeling that Donald Trump is possibly going to try to lead a movement into making it possible for people from other countries to run for president. And for those of you that watch The Celebrity Apprentice, Arnold Schwarzenegger has taken the place of Donald Trump in The Celebrity Apprentice. And that, when I saw that was happening, I flashed back to when Donald Trump was running for president and he was dealing with people from other countries and sending them back wherever they came from. But At the same time, he's very close with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who announced that he wished to run for president. So now wait and see if there's going to be something going on with that, people. Because if we sit back and allow Donald Trump to pull some of the stuff it looks like he's trying to pull, this country is going to be going to hell in a handbasket very fast, very fast. And he's made himself clear. You know, so I don't know what else to tell you about him. Other than it's clear he hates me and all them other people of color. And he wouldn't care at all whether we voted for him or not. See, he knows that we have a large population of African-American people that are not registered to vote and voting. I'm still trying to get the voter information for Oakland. Go on the web page. That's where I had to go. The city web page as well as the county have voter information to find out what's going on. What you do is you're able to find out about you and your voter registration status. What did they? I think they asked me for the last four numbers of my Social Security or something. They asked me. They asked you something that's personal. So they know that you're who you are, I guess, and they give you information about the election. I'll get back to you on that because in 2000 I got two CDs that gave me the information I requested, and it was public information. Now they have it on the computer, but they don't have it arranged where you can get it the way I wanted to have it in district form. And I requested years ago, I wanted it in zip code, all the zip codes in Oakland with the street addresses and, you know, gave you the information of how many people in the household was registered, how many people voted. You don't know who they are. They don't give you personal information of individuals. They just let you know this street, block, house, this is what is going on there. And you could find out what happened with this last election. So I'm doing some research on that because they sent me to this, to the webpage, and they didn't have it organized like they used to have it organized. So I told them down there that I was going to make a copy of what I got, so they could assist me because this is what they gave me years ago. Now, it's getting close time for us to close. So I'm just going to remind you to participate in the community fairs in your community, no matter where you are in the world, because we're going to have some issues, especially in this country. Do you have anything else you would like to say, Danella?
No, I think you covered it pretty well today.
Okay, knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.